Please do open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll begin to read at verse 20 as we go through the sermon, and we'll read all the way through chapter 7, verse 27. This morning our sermon is entitled, Say to Wisdom, You Are My Sister. The book of Proverbs is the greatest collection of wisdom sayings, and indeed it is the greatest because it is divine, breathed out by the Holy Spirit as recorded by Solomon. We must cherish these words, church, for what they are, the very words of God. These are as much and no less the word of God than the Pentateuch, the Psalms, the prophets, the Gospels, and the epistles. Every word is sufficient to be prized and applied. Family, though these words were recorded 1,000 years before Christ, yet are they descriptive of our present Christian life. These things that were written beforehand were written for our learning as New Testament saints. If in following Christ, we follow the wisdom revealed here, then we will live the Christian life. Introduction on the handout. Here in this morning's text, we study as Solomon returned to the subject of wisdom and sexual morality. In teaching us to value wisdom, he exhorts us to deny the sin that lives within, so we will not be taken away by our own lusts, and that, so we will not be taken away by those who would sinfully excite our passions, and that, so we will not be taken away to the desperate end of such sin. This heavenly wisdom, my family, is from our Father for the preservation of our soul in Jesus Christ. Since we have been saved by Christ, let us now live in the newness of Christ. And Solomon exhorted his son, saying in chapter 6, verses 20 through 23, My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. The reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Roman numeral 1, wisdom is the guide who never fails, for wisdom is of God. Let us cherish our Father by cherishing his wisdom. As God has given us parents, and some are so blessed that they have had godly fathers and mothers, here we are instructed to receive their instruction as from the Lord. Insomuch as they taught us the word, let us live according to the word. Insomuch as they gave us godly wisdom, let us listen to their commands. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Letter A. As God has given us parents to instruct us in his way, we are then, no matter our age, to observe their godly commandments, forsaking not their wisdom teachings. When I say no matter our age, here's what I'm saying. When is wisdom out of vogue? We always need it all the days of our life. Amen? As Hubbard explains, the equation of wisdom teaching with the father's command and the mother's teaching serves to show that obedience is not a matter of option, but of responsibility. And of course, we who are in Christ are doubly blessed, for not only has sin's grip been broken, we are no longer slaves to sin, thanks be to God, and the church said, Amen. But so are we empowered by the Holy Spirit to obey the commands of wisdom. We are to bind wisdom continually on our heart. Church, understand this phrase, for it is of great value. Wisdom is not something that we take in once and it forever directs us, but it is something that we must be busy continually giving ourselves to, or asserting ourselves in it, binding, constantly binding wisdom and her sayings on our heart. Wisdom is like water. We need it daily, throughout the day, and lots of it. And where do we get wisdom? It is taught us, passed to us. The word of God is didactic in nature. Wisdom is not pulled out of the air, but that which God has given us through his word, and how we need to be continually washed with the water of God's word for our daily cleansing, for our instruction, and for our edification. Church, let us in a non-stop fashion take the word of God in with all of his revealed wisdom, and let us bind it on our heart. As David said, thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here is the high instruction of wisdom. Bind God's word on your heart continually. Tie his word around your neck. Wear it like a necklace. Keep it there, present, ever before you. Number one, observed wisdom will guide you when you walk. Now I put observe because if you're not observing it, that's not going to guide you. If you're on a path and you have a guide and you decide to turn off and no longer follow the guide, he's of no use to you. So it's observed wisdom. Observed wisdom will guide you when you walk, watch over you when you sleep, and teach you when you are awake. If wisdom is continually bound to your heart and tied about your neck, then she will always be there, never leaving you nor forsaking you, ever guiding you into all truth and godliness. As the psalmist sang, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we're glad for that. Amen. And as Solomon says, reproofs for discipline are the way of life. If we desire true life as God wills for us, then we must receive his wise reproofs so as to be disciplined by them, living free from the pains of foolishness, enjoying the blessings of his peace and his joy and his rest. It flows from God, amen, through his word, by his spirit to us. As an athlete is disciplined so as to win the prize, so must we live disciplined lives according to the reproof of wisdom, that we may enjoy the ever-present prize of knowing Christ. It's when we're disobedient that we're uncomfortable with our Savior, isn't it? But when we obey the commands and the teachings of our Lord, in which all of his commands and teachings are wise, when we obey him, we're at peace with him. There's no division. Our communion is complete. Observe wisdom, Solomon wrote, verses 24 through 35. Observe wisdom to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her catch you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be content, though you give him many gifts. Roman numeral 2. The wisdom of God teaches us to avoid sexual immorality, instructing us to live disciplined lives whereby we avoid those who would excite the sin that is within. You remember in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul speaks of that sin that indwells us so that we do the things we don't want to do and don't do the things we know we ought to do, that great dilemma. Beloved, as a result of the fall, we are all born in sin. And though in Christ we are no longer enslaved to that sin, yet does it take little enticement to arouse sin's passion. Sin is there, crouching at the door, and its desire is to have you. Letter A, dear sons, let wisdom guard your heart. Let wisdom be like a fortress, an impenetrable fortress around your heart. And here's wisdom, keep away from the evil woman. though she speaks smoothly. Hers is only a practiced art and not true to who she is. Her words betray. She may be a smooth operator, but know this, she's operating. And with a scalpel of a word, she's about to lay you open. In truth, she is a mean and deviant and devilish soul. Her smooth speech is a lure. Guard your heart. Do not desire her beauty, for right under the cosmetic surface is a shark. Don't let her eyes reel you in, for just behind those batting eyelids is a deviant mind bent on gutting you. Stay away. Oh, if you even so much as enter into a conversation with her, you're about as good as hooked. Son, I know. How, we ask, how could someone who speaks so smoothly, who is so amazingly beautiful, with heavenly eyes that reach into our soul, ever cause us any harm? We're taken away by beauty. Many years ago, at a church that I was on staff, they brought in the former Mrs. America. Not Miss America, but Mrs. America. She was attending a church down in Phoenix. And they brought her in, and so she was teaching and preaching in that church. And as she spoke and told her stories, it was the funniest thing. Because as I looked around the congregation, every man had his hands full and was like, she could have said something like, I don't think the Bible's the word of God, and everybody wouldn't. Amazing. Beauty. Beauty takes us away. And that's the problem, beloved. It takes us away. It forgets. It causes us to forget to think through things. Our flesh reasons like a fool, saying this, listen to her smooth speech. Oh, she's so kind and tender, and maybe she could be mine. Look at her beauty. Oh, she can be mine. All mine, just mine alone. Look into her eyes. She desires me and is ready to lay down her soul for me. And soon your heart is wildly throbbing as your mind has entered a hypnotic state. Son, when you get to the point where the opiate of fantasy has you in a senseless stupor, your destruction is near and your fate is all but sealed. Don't get close. Let me tell you how the adulteress draws one in. They fail to observe wisdom. It's that simple. They fail to observe wisdom. It is your fault and the fault of no other, and so will you bear the deplorable shame when you fail to observe wisdom. You failed to guard your heart. You failed to cry out to God and lean upon his wisdom. You failed to continually bind wisdom to your heart, to tie it about your neck. You gave yourself to be teased, and now senseless passion bowls you over. You won't stand before God and say it was her fault, because each man will give an account for himself. Let wisdom keep you from the evil woman, or you will be reduced to a loaf of bread. To her, you are nothing more than a dollar sign. She sold you with her smooth talk, her cosmetic beauty, and flattering eyes. All you are to her is a simple means of subsistence. When your money runs out, her smooth speech will simultaneously disappear. You will be amazed how instantaneously she takes her beauty and gives it to another. In the blink of an eye, she will wink at another, and then another, and then another, looking at you now as an object of disgust. She will disdain you now. Your money's gone. Adam Clark commented, while the man hires the prostitute for a single loaf of bread, the woman thus hired taketh his precious life. She extracts his energy and poisons his constitution. Letter B. In reducing you to a loaf of bread, she has taken your precious life away. We foolishly think that such sin will give much and cost little, but indeed it costs everything and gives nothing but heartache. I suppose I'll say it every sermon in Proverbs. Wake up, O sleeper! Come to your senses. How foolish can you be? The Bible commentary, knowledge commentary says, and a wayward wife can prey on one's very life, that is, bring him to ruin and death. Dire consequences are inevitable, amen, and severe, amen. And it is impossible to hold fire on one's lap without burning his clothes, or to walk on clothes of fire without burning one's feet. So it is impossible to commit adultery with another man's wife without being harmed. Illicit sex is like playing with fire. You will be burned. Indeed, as Solomon explained, in some cases, sin like thievery, when a man steals because he's hungry, some cases like thievery may be understood by men. And yet even then, restitution must take place. And in such instances, it is possible for the offense to be adequately recompensed, but not so with adultery. The woman's husband will never excuse you, never forget, and no price paid will ever settle that debt. Let the wise receive wisdom's warning. When you lay with another man's wife, you have entered into a deep, dark, and shameful pit that will mark you, enslave you, and dog you the rest of your life, costing you peace and rest and perhaps your very own life. And we say, oh, well, God will forgive me. Yes, but here he's telling you, but men won't. That husband won't. And he may take your life. Do a study, church. See how many murders are committed because of love affairs. The Lord has given us his wisdom to keep us from the evil woman. Bind wisdom on your heart, tie it about your neck, observe the commandments, and live in the joy and the freedom of Jesus Christ. Who wants to live where you've got to look around the corner, worried about what's going to go on? I know of men who committed adultery with their neighbor's wife. Pretty soon they had to move because things were so bad. It's not a joke. The Lord cares. He loves you. Are you a child of God? Bind wisdom to your heart. Now, as Solomon instructs us in the wisdom of sexual purity, he calls us to follow after wisdom, just before illustrating the great sorrows of such immorality. Harry Ironside wrote, God alone can estimate aright the depravity of the human heart. Knowing its perverseness, the human heart perverseness, and the need for continued warning, another entire chapter is devoted to this subject. That there may be no stone unturned to save the youth from the strange woman's snares, her ways and behavior are graphically delineated. If he turn after her now, he does so with his eyes fully open. Family, let us now take in the word of God to fully open our eyes. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to them, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from the adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters you with her words. Roman numeral 3, Solomon again calls us as God's children to keep his word, treasuring and obeying his commandments, making the wisdom of God the apple of our eye, upon which we love and long to work as we love and long to look upon him. How well we would do to bind wisdom on our finger as a string so as to constantly remind us of her way, writing wisdom's principles upon the tablet of our heart so that we are on the same page as her. How wise we would be to do as Solomon instructed, to say, "Wisdom, you are my sister," and to call understanding our intimate friend. Let wisdom be the apple of your eye. Letter A. We should personify wisdom. The Bible does. We should personify wisdom as one who is very dear and near to us, dear and pure and caring like a true sister, and close like a most guileless intimate friend, a sure confidant who never misleads. And if we will obey Father in this, always beholding our sister wisdom, calling wisdom our intimate friend, then God, through the pure lady wisdom, will protect us, strengthening us with a right mind so we will of strength and knowledge keep ourselves from the godless adulterer. Beloved, I kid you not. Get up each morning, and maybe I should emphasize this to the younger people, young man, young woman, but we all need it. Every morning when you get up, in your time of prayer and reading, and I do assume that you have a time of prayer and reading. If you don't, you need to have one. Son and daughter, read your Bible and pray. Start the day out. Well, I don't have the time. Set the alarm 5 minutes early and get up and do it. I might fall asleep. Yeah, and you might do it too. You might read it and you might pray. I have this story. I fell asleep praying. I woke up praying. I'm assuming I prayed all the way in between. Get up in the morning, read your Bible, and pray. And when you do that, say this: God has given me wisdom. Wisdom, then, you are my beloved and caring sibling whom I will not shame. Understanding, you are my choice and intimate friend whom I cherish. In truth, I have no need for the feigned intimacy and cosmetic beauty of an adulteress, nor the poisoned kisses of a godless foreigner. I am not going to drink acid today because I have the fresh, pure, and clean water of wisdom. And then live your day out. With this, Solomon tells us a story of one who played the fool. Let the wise hear and learn from the ill of another. It's always good to learn from somebody else's lesson. Verses 6 through 23. For at the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, and I saw among the naive a discerning, and I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing through the streets near her corner. And he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, "I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have made my vows. Therefore I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For the man is not at home. He has taken on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her, and as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life." Roman numeral 4. Wisdom wises us up to the ways of the adulteress and the fool who goes to her. We have this for our learning. Let us observe and learn. Letter A, let us consider the adulteress becoming wise to her devices. The adulteress, number one, dresses seductively because she is a seductress. Do you know why harlots dress like harlots? Because they're harlots. First clue, I'll put it in Davenport, Iowa terms. If she ain't dressed right, she ain't right. Why are you going over there? Young man, stay away from those who dress like a harlot. They're harlots. Like a billboard, they openly, without shame, advertise their wares. And they're not just advertising to you, they're advertising to everybody. They're not difficult to spot. Don't go down their street. And the adulteress, number two, is cunning of heart. Man, there's sermons all over the place here, and I've got to move through the material. The adulteress is cunning of heart. They hold secrets in their heart, hiding their true intent to destroy. In other words, they're acting some way before you to lure you in, but they've got another purpose in mind. They're like a tree snake, camouflaged. It lies in wait for an unsuspecting bird, doing all it can to disguise its true intent. So with this adulteress, what cunning evil lurks in her heart? I don't care what she told you. I don't care how she dressed. I don't care how she looks at you. I don't care how beautiful she is. If she's an adulteress, she's fooling you, she's trapping you, and you got trouble in your hands. Run for your life. She's cunning. You better be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, or you'll be a dove in the serpent's mouth. And she, number three, is boisterous and rebellious. She is a loudmouthed woman who employs her mouth to gather attention. That's why she's loudmouthed. Look at me. I'm here. Notice me. She knows nothing of the gentle and quiet spirit which the Lord cherishes. She's rebellious. She rebels against the Lord and her husband by not being the faithful woman who is married. She leaves her proper place. She rebels. And she's proud of her rebellion. She flaunts it. Do you know why? In so doing, she's advertising that she's wild and unbridled. Oh, and there are so many of these. Number four, the adulteress is everywhere and numerous. Wisdom tells us that when we find such a one, we have found no prize. She's not a prize. She lurks in every shadow. Darkness is her friend. Church, young men, it is the pure one who lives her life in the light of righteousness who is to be prized. Oh, I know. They're not loud, so we don't notice them. If you're smart, you'll look for the humble, quiet woman, and you'll cherish her. The one who quietly lives out her life in submission to Christ. There aren't too many wise young men around, are there? Of course, there aren't that many wise young ladies either. So when you find one, you found a good thing. When the fool comes nearer, she, number five, seizes him, seeking to sinfully excite his passions with many kisses. She brazenly and openly expresses her ill passion in order to work up his passion, while simultaneously, she has a whole nother agenda, while simultaneously advertising her lack of discretion. She's kissing all over him openly to tell all the other men, this is how I'll treat you too. She knows her business really, really well, and she seeks the linemen up like cordwood. And then with brazen face as a bald-faced liar, seeking to pull off a poker-faced bluff, she, number six, speaks of her rightness before God. Young men who love Christ, I'm going to tell you something. There are women who know who will meet someone like you. They'll see that you have a religious background, and they'll play the part. Beware. Beware. It's good to get to know people rather than to act on impulse. She speaks of her righteousness before God. She craftily expresses that she is no godless foreigner, but a religious soul just like you, one who is faithful in her offerings to God. I go to church. I have some very dear friends whose daughter was going to get married. The fella comes to church. I go to church. Pretty soon he's saying, marry me. She's like, all right. They start going to biblical counseling and starts finding out he doesn't even know who Christ is. Thank God she had sense enough to say, hasta mañana, muchacho. I'm telling you, if you're going to get married, go to biblical counseling, huh? Get some counseling. Ask for some help. Have somebody disciple you through biblical counseling, because there are a lot of people out there that will fool you. And let me tell you this. Also, I want to encourage you in this. If you meet someone, take the time to get to know them. Again, don't act on impulse. And ask them questions about the Bible. And by your way, be mature enough that you have questions to ask about the Bible. Questions that you can answer. They'll say, I'm just like you. We fulfill our obligations before God. I go to church, you go to church. Hey, great. And by the way, God made us with passions. Therefore, I came out to meet you. We're so alike. We're made for each other. And I only want to be with you. You're the one I've been looking for all this time. Yeah, right. She said that to 1,000 before you, and she's going to say it to 1,000 after you. And she, number seven, tells that she has a special time plan just for you, inviting you to her bed. She tells of her pent-up passion as she explains her husband has been away. And in so doing, she tells that all is safe for her husband will not be home for many days. It's really interesting in that passage because she says the man. She doesn't say my husband. The man. The man's away. Do you think that woman's going to be faithful to you? She tells that all is safe, for her husband will not be home for many days. Her promise is that you can spend the entire night together in free love, caressing throughout the night. No one will ever know. You'll never be caught. You shouldn't even have a single inhibiting concern, she says. But with finality, the 21st verse says, with her many persuasions, she entices you. Do you see how she worked at it? With her many persuasions, she entices you. Solomon's speaking to a son who knows better. And he's telling his son, I don't think you're just going to be trapped walking down the street. But if you go the way of the adulteress, and you sit there and entertain her, and you listen to her long enough, and you listen to all her persuasions, she's going to entice you, son. And my son, you're not above it. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. In other words, if he is so foolish as to have entertained her to this point, then you can stick a fork in him because he's done. Let her be. Now let us consider the foolish young man, his stupidity, and the end result. The fool, number one, went the way of the adulteress's house. Fool? I can tell you right now, if I was an alcoholic, I'd stay away from alcohol. I wouldn't go to the bar or the tavern. I wouldn't go to the nightclub. I wouldn't walk down the aisle that sells the liquor I'd shop at the drugstore that doesn't sell liquor rather than the one that does. You understand what I'm saying? Stay away. He went the way of the adulteress's house. He refused to listen to wisdom as she instructed that he go another way. He foolishly placed himself within the reach of temptation as he went near at night under cover of darkness. Why? Doesn't that reveal to himself he shouldn't do it? Sin always seeks to hide its shame. And when the harlot came, he didn't have the sense to run and escape for his life. But he, number two, listened to her boisterous speech and let her land her foul kisses. You might think her kisses are great, but they're the kiss of death. He listened as she talked about her understanding of the things of God. And he fantasized when she told him that her passions were unsatisfied as her husband was away. And he believed her as she said they would have no worries of being caught. And suddenly, or perhaps before he thought he would resist, suddenly, before he knows what happened, suddenly getting too close to the fire, he's burned. Flirting with disaster, he finds himself in the midst of destruction. Ruin is upon him because he, number three, followed her. Just like a non-reasoning beast goes to the slaughter, happily following a trail of feed. Here's a kernel. Here's a kernel of corn. Let me place it before you. I'll bring you to the place I want you. And I'll slaughter you. He, number four, has gone as one in the bondage of shackles, going to the punishment reserved for fools. As he laid with the adulteress, disease has ruined his health, and he feels as if an arrow has pierced his liver. Just as a bird seeing a few seeds quickly flies into the hidden snare, neither does the young fool know that his sin will cost him his life. And young man, this is no exaggeration. When you go the way of sexual immorality, no matter the method, if not confessed and repented of, and if freely continued in, then it will bring you to your ruin, and the end will be the utter ruin of spiritual death. Dear church, in our day, this scene is played out through pornography. Several articles have come across my desk in the last couple of weeks, and one consists of a survey. I'm not always sure how much weight we should put into a survey, but one consists of a survey and said that 60% of the men involved in the church were moderately involved in pornography. 60% moderately involved. We know it's a problem. The image on the screen is designed to seduce you. Brazenly and unashamedly advertising its industry. Being cunning of heart, those in the business of pornography seek to draw you in, to entrap you, and to addict you with the promises of endless pleasure while truly only seeking your wealth. Loud and boisterous is this business, proudly rebelling against the God who created them, giving them life. And like so many rat traps, they place themselves everywhere, always lurking, awaiting the opportunity to pounce on the unsuspecting fool. And when the fool comes near, pornography seizes upon him, exciting his senses. Oh, but all is short-lived, and it leaves the fool empty and despondent. But he's a fool. So he comes back again and again, thinking this time there will be fulfillment. And there are those in that industry whom I've read who have said, God made us this way. We're created for this. God gave us passions. See what we enjoy. And so their advertisement is, not literally but figuratively, come and burn with us. Same way in the Bible days, New Testament, they would say food for the body, food for the stomach. The stomach's made for food, our bodies for sexual activity. It's okay. God made us this way. It's not okay. God made you to glorify Him. Control yourself and use your body for the glory of God. Worship Him. Even with your body, in righteousness, in purity, in truth. In the privacy of your own home, pornographic images come saying, I'm all yours, only for you. I understand you and your needs, just you and I. See how wonderfully I've prepared for you. We were made for each other. Forget faithfulness, forget fear. Spend the night with me. And foolish son, if you have come down the street to the place where pornography is, availing yourself to her, she will avail herself to you. And moreover, with her many persuasions, she will successfully entice you. With her flattering, she will seduce you. And I ask you, how will you ever climb out of that pit? You'll say this one last time. Then again, you'll say this one last time. And then again, you'll say this one last time. How will you ever climb out of that pit? Do not give yourself to it. And let us learn, dear and precious soul, in regard to pornography, don't be deceived, for it is, as Jesus said, Matthew 5:27-30, you have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already in his heart, with her already in his heart. And if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for one of the parts of your body to perish than for your whole body to go into hell. What was the Lord Jesus saying? This is how serious of an issue it is. You can say, I didn't commit the physical act with that individual. If you viewed her with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery already with her in your heart. Cease. Stop. Bind wisdom to your heart. Confess your sins and cast your cares upon the Lord. Trust in Him and lean upon Him. Wash yourself with the water of the Word day in and day out. In the morning when you get up and when you pray and when you read your scriptures, say to wisdom, you are my pure sister and I will not defile you. You are my close friend, intimate. I do not need the fellowship, the feigned intimacy of an adulteress. Let her see. Though the young fool of Solomon's example did not know that it would cost him his life, you know. There can be no plea of ignorance on our part. Sexual immorality and all its rebellion against God will cost a man his life, for it is appointed unto man once to die, then there is the judgment. And so the chapter closes as our time flies away. Verses 24-27. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me, and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside from her. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Nor do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all the slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Listen, pay attention to Father's cry. He pleads for your soul. Number one, listen to the stern but loving words of your father and live. Turn away from the smooth and murderous words of the adulteress. Do not let your heart turn toward her, but write wisdom on your heart. Don't stray from the straight and narrow path of wisdom to wander her crooked paths. She makes victims of all who come to her. She casts them down by the droves. Numerous are her slain. The door of her house is the lid of a coffin, and all who enter in and lay there have descended to the chambers of death. As we come to the close of this seventh chapter, we understand that as Solomon spoke of sexual morality in terms of foolishness and wisdom, of matters of death and life, it points us to the greater context of the Bible, which speaks in terms of damnation and salvation, of eternal death and eternal life. The scripture is clear. From the beginning, God wrote his law on the tablets of stone. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But here, in one inexcusable measure or another, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are without excuse. So then, what can we do? Because it is appointed unto man once to die, and then there is the judgment of God. And we are all guilty. All have sinned. Well, thanks be to God. He made a way of escape through the offering of his Son, Jesus Christ, whereby Jesus, the holy and sinless Lamb of God, shed his blood for all who would believe. The death Christ died, he died for us in our place, so that the life he lived would be credited to us, so we would be acceptable before God. Because of his work on the cross, if we will come to Jesus Christ in faith believing, confessing our sin, he will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you will be saved. Now then, what about us who have come to faith believing, but who wrestle with sin, and in particular this morning with sexual sin? Well, beloved, Christ sent his Spirit to indwell us, to empower us. And here is the truth of the matter. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We often say, I need more power. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to believe and live. We need to be washed with the water of the Word to remind us of the truth of God and the power that has been given us, that we've been set free from the slavery of sin. We need to apply his wisdom to our daily life, being fully dependent on the power of his might. So then, church, we in Christ have overcome the world. We are freed from sin's enslavement. You don't have to walk that street of the adulteress, the street of pornography, the street of fantasy. You're free from that sin. Let us live in that freedom, obedient to Christ, as it were, having embraced Father's wisdom as our sister. So closing, say to wisdom, you are my sister. And hear the saving word of wisdom. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed.